want you to look at verse number 5, and I'll be giving the setting of what's taking place here in this chapter here in a few minutes. Verse 5 says, "Even the Lord God of hosts, the Lord is His memorial." Let's go ahead and pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we love You. Lord, I thank You for Your word. Lord, I certainly ask Your blessing upon the message this morning. I pray that You be honored and glorified in it. Control what I say and how I say it, Lord. I pray that You meet the needs that are in this room. I pray it would challenge us, it would change us. If there's anyone here who has never truly been converted, Lord, I pray that even this morning that perhaps they repent and place their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray and ask all this in Christ's name. Amen. Let me grab a quick drink of water before we get into this. As I mentioned here earlier, freedom certainly isn't free. It costs a tremendous price of all those who have given their lives. I mean, the Civil War, we had 618,000 casualties alone in the Civil War. 405,000, more than 405,000 had given their life during World War II. Over 58,000 in the Vietnam War, and on it goes. There's a tremendous price that is paid for it. One thing I think we all would agree with, at least I hope you would, if not, you're seeing things wrong in this world, is that I do believe that the other nations in this world can all see how God's hand has been upon this nation, that there's something different about the United States of America. Nations recognize the difference. Being able to travel for military, my time as a missionary, even Mike mentioned it when he was in Estonia, of how, man, when you're an American, they're glad to meet you. That changed a little bit with the ridiculous apology tour that took place, which was just outrageous. But nonetheless, the world recognizes there's something different about this nation. And that difference has been the fact that we have had the Creator God, the Sovereign God's hand upon our nation. However, as we all know, individuals, families, churches, nations can change. They can turn from God. And obviously we all recognize that to some extent our nation has as well. We saw things beginning to creep in, going back really, to be honest, all the way back to the 1920s. I believe we can see things beginning to lay a foundation for what was to come in the United States of America. Now, don't get me wrong, I still do believe. It's not all doom. It's not. I still believe we can still clearly see at times God moving and directing in our nation, which I am very thankful for His mercy and His grace. I am so thankful that the Lord allowed me to be born here. I want to see our nation be that light of the world for the cause of Christ. A nation with religious freedom. One that recognizes from its very inception the lordship of Jesus Christ. Much like America, the nation of Israel went through times of turning from God, getting distracted, allowing different things to come in place of God, turning to idolatry and wickedness. God, time and time again, would send prophets to preach and to plead with them to repent and to turn back. Always stressing, that's the way to blessing. That's the way you want to go, to get back to God, to get back to His blessing and His hand on your nation. Our nation began to get a little bit too prideful, thinking it was of our strength. It was never of our strength. It was always of God. And so, this morning, I want to look at a particular time in the history of the nation of Israel, particularly the northern kingdom and the instruction that was given to them. God would send the instructions, of course, through His prophet Hosea, preaching to the northern kingdom, warning of this impending judgment that was coming from the Assyrians unless they repent. And the verse I read, this is where, I mean, we're thinking on and remembering Memorial Day. And in the section I read there where God is giving his instruction to this northern kingdom that has turned from God, he says, listen, he brings up a man that I want to talk about, and that is Jacob. And he says, listen, his memorial was God. What he was remembered for wasn't a ruined life. It wasn't a life that gave up. His memorial was God. For our nation and for my life, what I want my memorial to be is God. And to have a life that is about him. The setting at this time for the nation of Israel, the country is a mess. Jeroboam II is the king of the northern kingdom. Israel actually militarily was fairly strong at this time. They even, from a military aspect, different things that were taking place here, they even to the point of taking portions of Syria and making it part of Israel's territory. The economy was actually pretty strong under Jeroboam II. However, in spite of this perceived success, which we so often, even our own Christian life and in churches, we measure success by the wrong measuring stick. The northern kingdom was having massive decay taking place within its citizens. Israel was filled with murder, bloodshed, adultery, perversion, drunkenness, accompanied by an enormous indifference to God. Debauchery, lawlessness, violence was everywhere. They did not have a settled foreign policy. We can even see in this text where they're vacillating between two alliances, whether to align with Assyria or to align with Egypt. The cause of all this chaos, what is taking place within the borders of the nation, is directly related to the abandonment of their faith in God. Going back to Jeroboam I, who was responsible for the beginning of turning these people away from God as he established his own way to worship God. I mean, once the civil war had taken place and the northern kingdom is established, Jeroboam did not want the people heading down to the southern kingdom to worship. So he developed his own way of worship. Listen, we're seeing that right now. We're seeing churches developing their own way to worship God. It's not up to our wicked, vile heart in determining how we worship God. It is defined by Him. This text was a portion of the book where the Lord was directing Hosea and how, giving them key steps in how to turn back to the Lord. And I think it's appropriate for our Memorial Day, as we think on the sacrifice that was made and the nation that the United States of America has represented to the world, and wanting to maintain that, wanted not to see it get weaker, but stronger for the cause of Christ. To have a nation that its real memorial is God Himself. Maybe you in your own personal walk with God, you have found yourself in a place, maybe just over the weeks, over months, over years, where you know, listen, Pastor, I am saved. I know it. I can go right back to it. It was genuine. I wasn't playing a game with it. But you know you're not close to God. You know there's a distance there. It's getting caught up in the things of this world and all that is taking place, and it's driven a distance between you and God. Boy, can this help you to try and get your heart to return to Him. In our text, we have God giving to Israel the formula for getting right and getting back. And I love how the Lord directs this. This is something that truly does help us when we drift, when we're getting indifferent to the things of God. Now, first off, the setting, look at the very last verse, actually, of the previous chapter in Hosea. Hosea chapter 11, verse 12. Look at the condition of this nation. Ephraim, which is the northern kingdom, compass me about with lies, and the house of Israel with deceit. But Judah yet ruleth with God, that's the southern kingdom, and is faithful with the saints. Verse 1, Ephraim feedeth on wind, and falleth after the east wind. He daily increaseth lies and desolation, and they do make a covenant with Assyrians, and oil is carried into Egypt. This is really giving us a really good picture, spiritually even, of what is taking place in the nation. The Lord describes them as they're a nation that is full of deceit. Saying one thing with your mouth, but your heart is far from the Lord. Remember, at this time under Jeroboam the second, you have to go into, well, it's Hosea and Amos, and they were contemporaries. It is really, in some ways, worship was, of course, flourishing in some ways. But again, their heart was actually far from God. It's trying to serve God as you see fit, instead of based on what's truth. And so often when we want to come to God on our own terms, it's really because our own selfishness is in control. We're not at the point of realizing, listen, life's all about you, God. What would you have me to do? We're away from the Lord. We deceive ourselves into thinking everything's fine. We'll convince ourselves that, well, these things are not really sin. It's okay. You will lose sight of the holiness of God, the holiness of the Creator, which is in truth is what allows us to see our own vileness. Holiness is no longer a goal, but happiness is. How sad. That's a self-centered life. We have to remember, as Jeremiah 17 and verse 9 tells us, our heart is desperately wicked. It is. He described them as feeding on the wind. Obviously, when you're feeding on the wind, that's not going to help you. It's vanity. That's the whole point of that. It's vanity. What they're trusting in for strength, what they're trusting in for substance, it's all vanity. The farther you go from the Lord, the more your life is given over to things that just don't matter in the end. Those things that don't matter, that time when you know that death is drawing close, and all of a sudden, it's amazing when death is drawing close, so often what's really important comes into perspective. And he's saying this, what the nation was doing, they're giving their time, their energy, the very life that has been given to them by the Creator, over to pure vanity. Many Christians, they've given their time, their energy to things that really have no eternal value whatsoever. Multitudes in our Western culture striving to make it to the top. But listen to me, I promise you, when you get there, you'll find nothing. I want to quote. I remember watching this guy play tennis when I was a teenager. Boris Becker. At the time, he just dominated tennis. But this is what he said. I'm going to quote from him. He was on the brink of suicide. He said, I had won Wimbledon twice before as the youngest player. I was rich. I had all the material possessions I needed. It's the old song of movie stars and pop stars who commit suicide. They have everything, and yet they are so unhappy. I had no inner peace. I was a puppet on a string. He made it to the top. You know what he found out? There's nothing there. He gave all his energy, all the time from a young man, all his strength to this. He wins these tournaments, but the tournaments happen and they're over with. See, we're created by God. There is a Creator. He is in control. Everything apart from Him is vanity. Matter of fact, a famous author, Jack Higgins, he said this. He was asked what he would like to have known as a boy about reaching the pinnacle of his career. He said this. He said that when you get to the top, there's nothing there. How true that is. It describes Israel as sin just abounding, sin just increasing, more and more sin. That always leads to problems. It always leads to destruction. It always leads to a breakdown. We see this in our nation. We're not finding actual meaning to life by leaving God. We're finding confusion and disorder. And people don't know what's right or what's wrong. People don't even know if they're male or female anymore. I mean, just this week, reading more of the vile corruption that Doge is finding. Just incredible. And we also see another description of the nation that is given to us in the last part of verse 1 is because they were so far from God, they were trying to use man's wisdom as a means of protection for themselves. Between the Egyptians and the Assyrians, genuine threats to them. But they were having to try and make alliances. They knew they were in trouble with Assyria. That nation was dominating the known world. They were very powerful, but they did not go to the Lord. I mean, how could they? He was the one who, though, could truly help them. They were trusted in duplicity and manipulation for their own preservation. There is a danger when your walk with God is out of control. You end up trying to manipulate your own circumstances to try and control things, to keep a measure of peace, to keep a measure of protection. And listen, we are so limited. There's only so much you can do. People do that with their relationships, their work, many other areas. Instead of, because they're so far from the Lord in their relationship, they can't trust in Him. They just can't make it a matter of prayer. So they have to try and control, fret, worry, manipulate all those areas of their life. You know what? That just eats your life away, doesn't it? Just eats your life away. So how does He say they come back? Look at the example He gives. Look at verse 3. He took his brother by the heel in the womb. By his strength, he had power with God. Yea, he had power over the angel and prevailed. He wept and made supplication unto him. He found him in Bethel, and there he spake with us. Even the Lord God of hosts, the Lord is his memorial. Therefore, turn thou to thy God. Keep mercy and judgment, and wait on thy God continually. That was the solution. That was how to come back. That was how to stay right with God. It starts with us as individuals. We are the ones that, in order for our nation to be a light to this world, we have to be a light for our nation. And the first thing He tells them to do, by the way, it fits right in with the Sunday school message that Brother Mike preached, is to remember. That's what He's doing right now. He says, listen, I want you to go back and think on Jacob. I want you to go back and think, and I want you to remember him. The Lord reminds Israel who they are at their very beginnings. Jacob was a man who was a deceiver, a manipulator. But you know what happened? God changed him. The Lord is saying, remember him, follow his steps. He can change you. They need power with God, not power with Assyria or power with Egypt. And boy, does our nation need to remember her beginnings. The Lord reminds them how Jacob, when he really began to see what was really important, when things were starting to come in perspective, how he sought God. He went after with a measure of perseverance, a measure of tears. Knowing, I need God. I need His blessing. I get it, God. I get it. My life has been a deceiver. I've been a manipulator. But I see it's about You. And He's telling Israel, think on Jacob. This is what I need for you right now. Not the manipulation. Not the deception. Not playing the games with me. You've got to understand that I am what you need. Do you have a time you can remember when you had to get a hold of God? I often, just in principle and practice, I'll do my best at it when things are difficult and frustrations arise. I'll often go back to those teenage years when I started serving God. I will think on those services, man, when I wanted to serve Him. Coming down to those altars, Lord, please, whatever You want of my life, I want to serve You. Remembering that desire and then asking Him to please remove me. No, I'm not, just kidding. But often I will purposely think back to those special moments in my life and remind myself of those days. Was it not true that the prodigal had to remember when he came to himself? There's times that you do. You've got to go back and focus and remember those special times with the Lord. That sweet walk that you had. Did not the Lord tell the church at Ephesus, which had lost its first love, you better remember from whence thou art fallen? You better think back. Think back, Ephesus, to when the revival broke out. How you actually changed Asia Minor. The gospel being preached in all areas. Churches being established. Remember the fire, the revival that took place. The book burnings that were there. How you were changing one of the largest cities in the Roman Empire. He says, remember back to then. Because now it's just become form for you. It's no longer about faith. The first step to getting back again is remember. Perhaps there's things you need to remind yourself or to remember this morning. Do you remember those times maybe when you got your first Bible and how special it was? Man, I remember that day. Again, not growing up in a Christian home. I mean, I suppose it's a little bit more different for those that grew up in a Christian home. You've always had the Bible present. But boy, should you be thankful for that. Man, the heartache that'll keep you from. But I do remember getting the very first Bible. Man, I remember running upstairs with that thing, going to Genesis chapter 1, and just wanting to read this book. Remember those times when prayer was sweet and strong in your life? So he tells them to remember. Another thing that really he's pointing out with Jacob, for what Jacob went through, with the event that he's bringing up in Jacob's life, where he had to have God's blessing, is simply this. Once you remember, you begin to seek God with your heart, all of it. You begin to remove the things that you know are hindrances, the things that should not be there, and realize it's about God. God, no, I don't need these things, Lord. I need you. That's what Jacob was doing. God, I'm not going to let go till you bless me. Lord, I need to be right with you. I need your help. I need your hand upon my life. Determined to get a hold of God and not let go. It was that day, of course, that God changed Jacob's name to Israel. From deceiver to one who has power with God. I wonder if how the Lord would describe, if he was to give me a name, what would that be? With Jacob, then we see it took that persistence, that perseverance. He wasn't letting go. Don't quit, don't quit, don't quit. Even when discouraged, you keep going, you keep going. It is about him. And besides, as Paul said, the man who went through just enormous discouragement on all fronts of his life. He says, listen, he understood that I kept my eyes on the eternal, not on the temporal. I will stay focused on the Lord. I won't quit, I won't quit. It takes persistence. And also points out there in Hosea, let me quote how he found him in the house of God. The house of Bethel. Let me read that. He said, he wept and made supplication unto him. He found him in Bethel. And there he spake with us. He found him in Bethel. I believe we're addressing there the very house of God. You know, the Lord has given this institution to the local church. It's so important. It's not about, don't get me wrong, First John gets into that. We need to fellowship with each other. That is critical to our growth. We need each other. We do. But it's in this institution where God will work from here, the teaching, the preaching on your life. You don't come in here to play a game with. You understand that it's about God. We have way, way too many churches now where this has become a stage instead of an altar. Good. How sad. Being in a place where God can speak to you. Verse 6, he gives the instruction, therefore turn thou to thy God. There has to come that point and say, yes, I will make that decision, Lord. I will make my life. I will turn to you. This does show the Lord was telling him a change in direction needs to take place. Is that not what the famous 1st, 2nd Chronicles 7:14 deals with? Yes. A change in direction. By the way, we fight that, but that's exactly what you want. So you're seeking God with all your heart. You're in a place where you can hear from God in church. You're remembering the things. Listen, how special that those certain times are with God. Yes, Lord, it's about you. I've been distracted. Lord, I need to be the light. I need to make my life about you. And when I come to church, Lord, I need to be prepared. I need to want to hear from you. I don't want to play a game with this. Lord, I will change what needs to be changed. And he follows up with two more things. Do mercy and judgment and wait on God continually. Mercy and judgment, obviously, in relation to each other. The Lord expects, in other words, when you begin to get right with God, it affects your relationships with others and how you treat them. It does. And one of the tough ones there is one he finishes up on, to wait on God continually. Because we need things now. It might not come to you in heaven. And you know what? If life's about God, so be it. So be it. We wait on God continually. This is the very demonstration of faith and trust, which Hebrews tells us. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. This waiting on God, what it demonstrates, different than what Israel, the northern kingdom, was demonstrating, it demonstrates you understand your own weakness. God, I need you. I need you. I will wait. Too many today want to tout their own strength. The humanism that has crept in, that worldview of the strength within. We are weak creatures in need of God. And the key to the success of our nation is not the United States military. It's the Creator God Almighty. By waiting on God, we are trusting in Him. Which brings me to the final thing. I'll finish with this. Back to verse 5. Even the Lord God of hosts, the Lord is His memorial. What a great verse. What a great statement about Jacob. In other words, by doing right, by seeking God, by getting things right, your life isn't in vain. He shows how Jacob's life is therefore remembered. It's not as the deceiver. It's not as the manipulator. God is his memorial. Do you not want that about you? We need the Lord to be the memorial of our life. And I want the Lord to be the memorial of this nation. That they know that America, I mean, what's different is that is their service of the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember when I was a youth pastor going back years ago when I was in the Air Force at my first assignment, took a bunch of youth to a conference in Oklahoma at Jim Vineyards. And boy, they had one moving service. There was a missionary that Russia had just opened up. Can't think of the guy's name. It had just opened up. And he had just gotten back from a mission trip there. Oh, man, listening to it talk. They showed up in a little bit bigger of a truck, not a semi, but nonetheless, they had thousands of Bibles with them. He said, we pull into their first, I think he said it was a village, I don't think it was a town. He said, we get out, when people hear that we have Bibles, they were just surrounded. people coming from everywhere just to get a copy of the Bible. And the missionary, he's like, he was an evangelist there visiting a missionary. That's what the guy was speaking. And he said he was watching people grab Bibles and just hug them and kiss it. And he said he just felt so convicted. And he listened to one older lady was talking about it. And this is what she said. It's the book that made America great. She was exactly right, and we've forgotten that. We've forgotten that. What we want for our life, what you want for your life, how you want it to be remembered, the memorial for your life, to be the Lord God Almighty. Not that you're a CEO. Even if you are, nothing wrong with that. Don't get me wrong. But how you want to be remembered isn't for that. But it's for God. Life is all about Him. With heads bowed and eyes.